still to come in the program. Grover Norquist today. Michelle Malkin will be here as well, so mark that down. You'll want to be here for that. All right, a couple of other things I want to get to here today. If you haven't heard, Australia is having very serious bushfires. Of course, you've heard about that because Greta Thunberg and all the shrill voices of radical extreme environmentalism are screaming bloody murder that it's global climate change disruption warming or whatever they call it. When in fact, Australia is dealing with the same problem the United States dealt with beginning in the 1980s. And that is, prior to that time, here in America, we put out every forest fire. That was the effort. Any forest fire that started, the Forest Service would come in and smoke jumpers. And they put out every fire they could. The same thing has gone on in Australia for decades. And as a result, you get a tremendous buildup of fuel. Down trees, dried brush. It just piles up year after year after year. So when a fire does start, that is intense. And by the way, a good number of these fires started by people intentionally that got away from them. Not by global warming, not by anything else, but by man trying to play God. Man trying to play God is what led to the fires in Australia and to the fires that burned places like Yellowstone National Park in the late 80s, 1.1 million acres burned, 1988. These are the sorts of things that you need to be told so you know the truth. But Bernie Sanders was asked about what's going on in Australia. And, of course, he got right on the doom and gloom train, the train to oblivion. We're all going to die. Well, you are, Bernie. You're 78 and you just had a heart attack. But that's a story for a different day. Let's go to bite number six, if we could. Bite number six, Bernie Sanders talking about the doom and gloom of the fires in Australia. Go.
It is a scary reality. You turn on the TV today and you see what is happening in the beautiful country, continent of Australia. Australia is on fire. Up to a billion animals and at least 25 people have already died on that continent as mega fires continue to rage there. And let me again, and I don't mean to be too alarmist, but we got to tell the truth. If we do not get our act together in a very bold and aggressive way, what you are seeing in Australia right now will be common for countries all over the world in the years and decades to come.
I don't mean to be too alarmist, but we're all going to die. Excuse me, I had a moment there. Here's the truth again. And I know it has no place in most conversations these days, but the truth is this. When you have a tremendous buildup of fuel, down trees, deadfalls, a brush that's piled up for years, and you get a lightning strike, or you have somebody that lights that fire intentionally, and the wind comes up, well, guess what? The fire's out of control in a very short period of time. In Michigan, where I live, there was a fire in 1881, the Thumb Fire, 1881. It burned more than 1 million acres in a single day. In Michigan, think about that. More than 1 million acres in a single day. 10 years before that, in 1871, more than 8,000 people died in a single fire over a few days called the Peshtigo Fire. It happened at the same time that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern in Chicago and caused the Great Chicago Fire. But the fact of the matter is, fire is nothing new. And big fires are nothing new. And they all have one of the same root causes. That's a tremendous amount of fuel. The reason we had the Michigan fire in 1881 that was so massive, the Thumb Fire, was because we were just coming out of a near century of logging across the state. There were stumps and branches and brush and debris piled up from Lake Michigan to Lake Huron all across the state. Fuel was piled up. And so when those fires got started and the winds came up, well, they couldn't be stopped. The same is going on in Australia right now. It's not global climate change. It's mismanagement of the resources from people that didn't know what they were doing. We have better forest management practices now than we've ever had. We have better environmental practices now than we've ever had. America is the cleanest, greenest, industrialized nation on Earth. There's just no arguing that. When you look at the polluters on the planet and who contributes to the plastic pollution or the CO2 emissions, it's not America. We're not even in the top 10. Think about that. Our CO2 emissions have been going down ever since 2005. When it comes to putting plastic in the world's oceans and so forth, which is a terrible crime against the planet, it really is. That comes from China and India and Brazil and other nations. It doesn't come from the United States. Some does. But comparatively speaking, it's very, very little. Why? Because we have practices in place and regulations in place and systems in place to deal with garbage. You ever seen pictures of abject poverty in India or abject poverty in China? Extreme poverty in these places. Everything goes in the river. Everything goes in the rivers. We don't have those issues here. Not much. And so when you hear the environmental extremism and the extremists blowing the whistle as America's bad, please, clue in. Are we perfect? No. But we're closer than anyone else, and we're getting there. And the beautiful thing about America is we have the ability to continue to perfect the model. We were given a gift of a constitution. Was it a perfect document? No, but it is as close as anyone has ever come to creating the perfect governing document. The United States Constitution should be revered and respected because it gets us there. Over time, we can make adjustments and corrections and improve upon what we're doing. They're called amendments, and they're called American principles. And by God, America is the best country on earth, which is why more than 1 million people come here legally every year, and 1 million more try to come illegally every single year. They know what's going on. And so do you. That's why you listen to The Steve Gruber Show.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.